If you would, turn your Bibles, 1 Corinthians 13. I asked Brother Jamie just to cut us one song short at the beginning of the services here. We want to address this chapter, and I preached four messages regarding this passage, this entire chapter, I believe back in April of 17, and so those messages taking it slower and breaking this chapter down. We just want to really, in summary, preach all of that and deal with all of that and consider this, that our brother is dealing with this church that has issue and fault. They need to be corrected. He's not doing that because he hates them. He's doing so because he loves them, wants good things for them. There's better for them than they have and what they're pursuing, the way that they're pursuing it. He's dealt with public sin in the church and what needed to be done there. He's talked about the ministry of the Lord and the Lord using men, the Lord using his word, giving the example and the parallel of the children of Israel and how they were all there in Moses' ministry and the Lord's work amongst them, but not all of them received it. And it's the same thing with you and me. Not so much Moses as it is the Word of God and the Lord and what he's done for us and saving us and putting in his church and how he speaks to us through his Word and through the teaching of his Word, the preaching of his Word. And have we received it? Have you and I received it? Are we pursuing it? Are we dealing with it, facing it as our Lord would have us to do? And then in chapter 11, he says, follow me as he follows Christ. He reminds about headship of the Lord Jesus Christ and how there is an order that the Lord's established. I find this interesting. He brings in about the Lord's Supper and how we remember the Lord and what he's done for us, which we always need to do. We're even given an ordinance to remember that. And then he speaks about gifts, which we took some time to take a look at chapter 12. And then at the end of this chapter, as spiritual gifts given to us by the Spirit, that working of the Spirit within us, the Greek word charisma, it's not a showing out or an ability for the sake of self-praise and worship, but it's the Lord working in us to do things spiritual and heavenly in the work and service of the Lord, which is totally unlike this world and our own flesh. And so we're equipped by the Lord as he's pleased and are admonished to use that for his honor and his glory. And then he closes out this chapter 12 and verse number 31. He says, covetousness is bad. Our brother read about that this morning. We spoke a little bit about it this morning. But he says it's a good use of this word, covet. Covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. More excellent way. What is it? What is it? And so then we come to this chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. It says here at the last verse of the chapter, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity, these three, but the greatest, the elder, the one somewhat, a little bit, some superior to the other two is charity. Agape love. Love with legs on it. Love that stirs to action. And we see that in our Lord as he tells the children of Israel in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 3, that he's loved them with an everlasting love. And we know that the Lord would say such to all of his children, all of his people. He indeed has loved us with an everlasting love and the plan and the working that he has done for us from before the foundation of the world. And James chapter 2, Brother James is talking there about how it is that faith destitute of works is not faith at all. He gives an example here about those near and how one would say that faith without works, that is a saving faith that he has. He gives this indication about a brother or sister being naked or destitute of daily food, the essentials of life. And words are just spewed out in love. Words are just given out in love rather than meeting the physical need. He says, what does it profit? Talk. What does talk profit? without action. He says there, faith, if it has not works, is dead being alone. And so it is with speech of love, a claim to love, without the action of love, we are not representative of our Lord, if that's the case with us. If we talk about loving, but we do not do with love, we're not like our Lord. And so we have this that's at hand in this chapter. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 18, the apostle there, the Lord tells us, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." To love in deed and in truth. That's how it's truly manifested in us. So here we see in the beginning of this chapter, these first handful of verses, that with no charity, no love with legs on it, within us, our works are vain. Brother James, it goes on there in chapter 2, of in verse number 18, he said, "A man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." Well, that's the way charity is shown too. It's by what we do. And of course, the Lord Jesus tells us in John 15, 14, 15, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." And there'll be some action in that. There'll be some sacrificing of self and self-will in life for that, gladly following the Lord. Let's take a look at here about no charity within, all our works are vain. Though I speak with the tongues of men, hear what the apostle, the Lord tells us here. Though I speak with the tongues of men, speaking, and angels, tongues of angels, and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and not have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned in martyrdom and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. So here we see this about with no love, no love unto action within us, all of our works are vain. We're just like a cymbal in the percussion section, like a sounding brass, maybe a xylophone or something like that. There's a good sound that's made, but when it ding, when it goes away, it's gone. You hear that? You hear the xylophone music being played? Oh, it sounds pretty. Really sounds good from the standpoint of a sound, from the sound of music. It's enjoyable to hear. Oh, I love, I love, I love, I love, I love, I love. Oh, it's wonderful to hear. Then it rings away and it's gone because there's nothing else manifested from it. It's enjoyable to hear. And that's the way that we are. He says, prophecy, understanding of mysteries, all knowledge, and that's speaking about doctrine. Oh, I've got my doctrine down, all the doctrine together. The doctrine that the Lord's given us is good and wonderful. He's taught us the way it's supposed to be. It's good. It's not that it's bad, it's good. And though I have all faith, listen to that, all faith. Faith. A point in this passage, faith, and this is talking about not faith in self, but faith in the Lord. What's he say? Faith so that I could remove mountains. You've got faith of the grain of mustard seed. Jesus over, it's recorded a handful of times, even in the book of Matthew, about if we say unto this mountain, having faith in God, say unto this mountain, be thou removed, cast in the sea, and be done. Matthew 11, Matthew 17. The Lord reiterates that. Matthew chapter 21. If you have faith and don't doubt in our hearts, we say to this mountain. So Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, it's reiterated three times. It's told over three times about having very little faith to remove mountains. And so the brother here in 1 Corinthians, the Lord through him, he says, if we have that kind of faith to remove mountains but have not charity, we are nothing. And though we give our goods to feed the poor in verse 3 and even give ourselves to martyrdom and don't have love, we are profited nothing. Without love, charity, agape love in us, we are empty and vain. He says, what does it do for us? We say nothing. We are nothing. We say nothing in verse number 1. That's backed up by any action. We are nothing in verse number 2, and we are profited nothing, verse number 3. He's making a very strong point. I mean, he's driving a stake here about love with unto action. And so we need to understand that, of course, this love with unto action, this love with legs on it, is directed always towards someone. That's the only way that it's known and manifested. You can be kind to your house in painting it and renovating it and remodeling the bathroom. You can be very kind to your house, but that's not agape love. Agape love is manifested towards our Lord, towards a person. Agape love is manifested towards a person, another of one of us, a human being. That's how it's manifested. It is directed towards someone, to our Lord, to fellow man, to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Our relationships is a way to describe it broadly. And we have many relationships in the world, again, from our Lord, in our families, our spouses, our children, our parents, our co-workers, our neighbors, and the sinner that is without Christ. It's manifested unto them. The Lord makes it very clear in Mark chapter 12, verse number 30. He says, how is the law answered? What's the greatest commandment? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength. Four different aspects of life. Four different aspects of the being were to love God. That will be a love not of speech, but a love of action. It's the only way it can be manifested. That's the only way that it can be. And he says, and the second is like, namely this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, which we all know how well we love ourselves. And so we see here that this, without love, without love into action, without charity, with love with legs on it within us, everything we do is vanity. It's all vain. And we are not profited anything. We are nothing. We have no testimony or witness. And we say nothing. Because we speak, but there's no action that backs it up. See? So that makes the words void. They're of no consequence. It's like this. Somebody tells you that they're going to help you. They tell you they're going to help you. They tell you they're going to help you. They never come to help you. Then they tell you they're going to help you. Then you don't believe they're going to help you because they didn't come help you. Right? I mean, that's the way that it is. So then we're brought to this to think even more about love from the standpoint of the one that loves. There's the recipient of this, charity. And then there's the giver or the one that shows this, that exhibits this charity. And so from the scriptures, we can see that the Lord, in regards to his relationship with Israel, he set his heart upon them, a people that he had chosen, a special people, not from anything that they were or had done, not anything that Abraham had done, but the Lord said they were small. He didn't choose them because they were big. They were small. He didn't choose them because they were strong. He chose them. He loved them because he loved them. He set his heart and his mind upon them. And love is a mindset. And in the character of charity and of agape love, we see that there's a mindset, there's a dedication there that is unwavering. It does not matter what comes back. It is set. You think about Israel and how sorry Israel was towards the Lord. He's never quit loving them as a nation in that example. And, of course, they're very typical of how the Lord deals with his children. They are that case. Verse John chapter 4, verse number 19, we love him, God, because he first loved us. He was proactive in loving us. He's the one that loved first. and sending his son, as John 3:16 describes, and providing a way of salvation through him. His love, God's love for us, is a mindset and a choice indeed. Again, as we've said, not affected by us in any way. We don't change his love. His love is set. And so we see that here, and we can understand that from the scriptures about what is charity in a greater way. It's a mindset. It's a mindset. Another parallel is in marriage. Things change in marriage. In regards to the physical, with the husband and the wife, we get older, we get more feeble, we have changes that come about us. Well, a couple that is dedicated to one another and exhibiting true love one for another are not affected by those things, because their love is deeper than that. We live in a world just of self-gratification, and so much the world is just treating marriage, even if at all, as like paper towels. They get tired of somebody, just throw it away, throw them away. Well, that's not love. There might be some lust and the desire that's rolled up into there, but it's not love. Love is beyond the physical. Love is unto the spirit and to the soul. And it's a mindset, indeed. In verses number 4 through 8 in this passage, 1 Corinthians 13, we see here the character of charity. Listen to this, the character of charity. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth. That's the character of charity. I tell you what, charity, love with legs on, agape love, it's bulletproof. It is a mindset. It is a dedication. Listen to all those things. So much it speaks of the fruit of the Spirit that is to be manifested and worked on and things added to our faith, as the Scripture declares unto us. Charity is indeed full of the fruit of the Spirit. We read there in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." There's no completing them. There's no getting to the end of them. You can't do too much of any aspect of the fruit of the Spirit. You and I cannot. It's long-suffering, as we've read. It's very kind. It's not jealous or covetous. It doesn't parade itself around desiring to be praised and accolades extended unto it, like Brother Doug and I are in regards to the housework, the little bit of housework that we do. That 1% that men do is worthy of much praise compared to the 99% that the ladies do. He was joking about that out in the fellowship hall. I think he might have taken out the trash or something. It doesn't vaunt itself. It's not saying, "Hey, look what I did." That's why charity doesn't do that. Charity is not in it for the accolades. Charity is in it for the love, for the dedication, for the desire. Just like the Lord is. Just like the Lord is. Vaunteth not itself. Is not puffed up. Not proud of itself. Not behave itself unseemly. You know what? Agape love, charity, never throws a fit. Never throws a fit. Never has a screaming, ranting, raging time or fit. A charity doesn't do it. Seeketh not her own. Our Lord sought our need at the greatest expense, the expense of his Son. I tell you what, our Lord means what he says and says what he means. And our Lord Jesus came and was born, "A body thou hast prepared me." And you know what he did with that body? He gave it away. He used it up for our sakes. and the sakes of the people there in the day of his ministry here upon earth. Is not easily provoked. You know, charity, agape love, love with legs on it, will take a lot. And doesn't go back and think a bunch of evil about getting back. It's not full of malice. Charity and love doesn't rejoice in iniquity. The dirty joke. The wicked works. It's not over there thinking how funny that it is that the order of the Lord has been compromised or disobeyed. Love for the Lord, charity with legs on it, is not found humored by things that are against God. It's not. The flesh is, but agape love is not. It rejoices in the truth. The truth is told. Agape love and charity within says, amen. That's the way it is because God said it. Back to what Brother Doug touched on this morning. Agape love, charity, it'll bear up under a lot. It says here, all things. It believeth all things. Oh, the Lord's never going to save them. I tell you what, the Lord can save anybody. The Lord can reach everybody. That next thing, charity hopeth all things. Oh, you're just naive thinking that that situation will ever be changed. I tell you what, while there's the Lord who is eternal and there's life, He can take and turn people and things around. He can do it. Charity, agape love is naive enough to think that God can yet work good in this situation. Because God's that powerful. The Lord Jesus said, for the salvation of men, it's impossible with men, but possible with God. For Sister Mary, and how the Lord said that she was going to be conceived within her, by the Holy Spirit of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, the only begotten Son of God, with God, it is not impossible. Hope of all things. Somebody's attitude stinks and is terrible and is just wayward and wicked and just ornery and riled up and all that. I tell you what, the Lord can get a hold of folks. The Lord can get a hold of me. He can change us. He can change me. He can change you. And agape love, love with legs on it, as it says here, it never fails. And praise be to God that it does not. As a brother brought out several years ago, and I tell you what, it's a fine statement. Our Lord, knowing all things, saved this sinner in time. I'm going to bring this to me. Knowing how I would fail him in years and decades to come, he still saved me. That's love. That's love. And as it is with this church here at Corinth, the Lord's not giving up on them. I tell you what, we're quick to give up on brethren and brothers and sisters and churches. I'm grieved by that in our day. Division over things that there doesn't need to be division about, but a witness and a testimony of good things. I tell you what, the churches of the Lord, churches, and when I say churches, I'm talking about the Lord's churches that are Baptist, that believe in the Baptist distinctives. And maybe some have chosen to go this way with certain things and that way with certain things. And the thing is, doesn't mean that we need to follow after things that the Lord doesn't give us or that we don't see in the Scriptures. But I tell you what, we don't need to write them off. We don't need to write them off. They're our brethren. Who are we to say that the candlestick has been removed from any church? We're not the judge of that. Until they get down to those few, I count about three, Baptist distinctives. And when they do, then that's different. But until then, there they are. And they're our brethren. And we need to do what's right. And we need to be wise as serpents, as our Lord says, and harmless as doves. So again, we see here that the fruit of the charity is full of the fruit of the Spirit. And Brother James speaks about how it is that faithfulness and this agape love can hide a multitude of sins. A good witness, not not the brushing aside of sin and iniquity, but that of forgiveness, when there is repentance unto a change, and moving on. Indeed. Brother Peter writes in chapter 4, verse 8, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." Forgiveness. We need to have one for another. Of course, this of charity and agape love, love with legs on it, takes self-control. You got to have yourself under control. You and I have to have the emotions under control. As it says in 1 Corinthians 9, "Every man that striveth for the mastery in anything is self-controlled, temperate in all things." Praise be to the Lord after He saved me, and then when I sinned against Him and in my ignorance and went back into some things that I'd been saved from and all that, He just didn't zap me and do me in. But He taught me. He was long-suffering with me. He didn't let me go, but He taught me. Taught me, indeed. In summary to this, about this of what is charity and the character of charity, our Lord says in Matthew 23:23, "Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law." Getting ready? Get ready. Weightier matters of the law. Weightier, Jesus says, weightier matters of the law. Judgment. That's what God said. He's made judgments about things. He's given us the up or down or the right and the wrong about things. Mercy and faith. "For these you ought to have done, and for these ought you to have done, the paying of the tithe on those herbs, and not leave the other undone." Weightier matters of the law. Judgment, mercy, and faith. A love. A love for what the Lord says exhibited unto him. It says here in Luke chapter 11, 42, it's more descriptive along the line of our thought, "But woe unto you, Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass over judgment and the love of God." Passing over the love of God. It'll make us to where we just sound like we sound pretty, but there's nothing after that. And then here in this passage, we come to verse number 9 of 1 Corinthians 13. We see here the path of spiritual maturity. The path of spiritual maturity. We've seen here about the absence of charity, agape love, love with legs on it. We are nothing, we are profited nothing, and we say nothing. The next verses, group of verses, there, verse number 4 through the first part of verse number 8, we see the character of charity. But we pick it up here in verse number 8, "Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away." Talking about the works of the flesh and that transition time indeed of the Lord giving the keys of the kingdom from Israel to His church and the writing of the Scriptures, tongues are going to go away. All right? Prophecies are going to come to an end. Okay? There's going to come the Word of God. "Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away," because we're going to get this Word of God. I believe that that's the case. Then we see here the path of spiritual maturity. Listen, "For we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." This of perfection is talking about of maturity in the Lord. Coming of full age, to the full age. A child becoming a boy, a young man and a man. To grow up. We grow up. And when we grow up, we're to be growing up in charity. Charity. In 1 Corinthians, in the next chapter, in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 20, the Lord tells us here, "Brethren, be not children in understanding." Don't be a child in understanding. "Albeit in malice be ye children," getting back. That getting back that we want to sit in the Lord's seat, in the sentencing part, as Brother Doug brought out about judgment. But in understanding, be ye men. Maturity. Maturity. The gifts of leadership in the church described in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 13, we continue to read in that thought. The reason the Lord's done that in leadership in the church, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect, a mature man, under the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ. There is a growing up in love that is associated with the mature in the Lord. It goes on to say in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 13, when I was a child, I spake as a child. When you were first saved, you ever shoot your mouth off about something? Sure did. Man, especially when you're young, you think you know everything. Isn't it something how when you're hitting 16, 17, 18, you think you know everything? And then by the time you get 30, 35, 40, you realize you don't know much? That's the way it is, isn't it? I mean, it's just amazing. Well, that's the way that we need a sober understanding is that we need to learn. We need to be taught. Well, as a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But as we grow up, we need to become men, sons of God. Not ignorant, but knowledgeable in the Lord. And charity, love with legs on it, agape love is right at the heart of this. If our understanding, our teaching, our hearts are right, then put away childish things. In regards to the character, in regards to the character of agape love, I'm swimming in notes here. I don't like that, but it's where we're at. It is childish to not suffer long. It is childish to not be kind. It is childish to be jealous. True? Right. It is childish to vaunt oneself. It's childish to be puffed up, to not behave oneself seemly, to seek self rather than another's. That's childish, isn't it? It's childish to be easily provoked. It's childish to think evil. It's childish, spiritually, to rejoice in iniquity and not rejoice in the truth. That's childish. Amen? It's childish not to bear things. Our Lord is in control, and our flesh is the biggest problem that we have, and it gets tired, and it gets weary, and we are so subject to it. But I tell you what, we need to seek our Lord and His help and His strength, even in great times of weakness, and even where in the flesh we would despair. It is mature to look to the Lord in the worst. It is childish to not believe. It is childish to not hope. It is childish to not endure. It is childish to fail. Because how is it with children? Children are weak. They're just not full age. They're not mature. And so he gives us, we have this path of spiritual maturity. In childhood, we shot off our mouth. We didn't understand. We thought in a simplistic way, a carnal, fleshly way. But in growing up, we bring to ourselves, the Lord instructs us, teaches us the thinking of the Lord and the way of the Lord, and put away childish things. Children only think about now, don't they? Children give little consideration to the future. It is just the way of a child, and was with all of us when we were children. And children just have no vision. Their vision is just very short-sighted. It's just that way. It's that way with all of us. But remember, with no charity within, all of our works are vain. What does our fruit show? Our Lord Jesus told the disciples and tells us in John 15:16, "You have not chosen me, but I've chosen you and ordained you. You should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." A vision for the future. And understanding what's important. And that the Lord, asking the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the Father would provide what we need. A man grown up in the Lord is mature. They're mature in what they do. In Titus chapter 2, verse number 11 through 15, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, and it teaches us some things, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust," there's that temperance, there's that self-control, "we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, just right along with what the character of agape love is, isn't it? "Looking for that blessed hope, hopeth all things." Brothers and sisters, it may come a time and become so desperate in this world in which we live that we could think that our Lord is never going to come back. I speak as a man. But I tell you what, if we are mature, we will have that hope, knowing that His promise is true and steadfast regardless of what happens to this flesh. That temptation is there. Listen, while we're here and we have abundance and comfort, it's easy. Lord, help us in our lifetimes if it ever gets very, very difficult. May the Lord help us in that. He says here, there in Titus chapter 2, verse number 12, "teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, and looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works, filled with agape love, and looking to add that and bring that to ourselves." In 1 Corinthians 13:12, it goes on here in this path of spiritual maturity where things are vague and things are new and we don't know much, but we should be growing up. Again, I challenge you, have you grown up in the Lord, in the grace and knowledge of the Lord from this time last year until now? Do we have the attitude where we say, "I know enough about the Lord and His church and His doctrine, I'm satisfied, I'm done. I don't need any more"? I tell you what, you do. As long as you're here on this dirt ball, you do. You and I do. We need more. We need more indeed. He says here, "For now we see through a glass darkly," and that's the way it is when we're young in our Lord and in the faith. "But then," here's the end of it, the spectrum, the full spectrum of it, "then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as also, but then shall I know even as also I am known." That's hope indeed, isn't it? Hope indeed. And listen to how it speaks there. In the beginning, in salvation for the child of God, all we know is that we're saved. And we need to learn. And we need to grow. We need to add to faith. We need to manifest the fruit of the Spirit and be in pursuit of such things. And won't it be sad for the children of God who are saved and get all their learning, not here on this earth, but get all of their learning about the blessings and the calling and the provision of God when they enter into glory? I tell you what, we need to be doing some of that now. And understand, we will be enlightened and taught marvelous and wondrous things above what we have now when we enter into the presence of our Lord. But won't it be sad for those if one would enter in having been saved and having lived for years and decades, not learning much about the Bible, not learning much about the Lord, not applying things, and then the education comes when they step off into glory? Can you understand what I'm saying? We're called to something better than that. "Behold, I show you a more excellent way," He said. Service and pursuit of these things now. 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 The full spectrum of the life of the child of God and the learning of the child of God. So then we read here, "And now abideth," so verse number 31 of the previous chapter, "but covet earnestly the best gifts." He's going to talk about that here in the future. It's good to want gifts. It's good to covet those. Not to take away from somebody else, but from the Lord. "And yet I show you a more excellent way." Verse 13 of chapter 13. "And now abideth faith." in our Lord, hope in our Lord, and agape, love, charity, these threes, but the greatest, the eldest, the most senior of the three, the greatest of these is charity. Charity. So may the Lord help. I know that this was hurried. Again, if you would like to review, there's four messages regarding this chapter and related on the Baptist Archive, and you can refer to those, I think April or so of 2017. Next, he's going to move on and following after charity and these spiritual gifts and right use of those that are honoring and glorifying to the Lord. A decency and an order about worship and the meeting together of the church and our behavior. These things all line up and are all instructive and building to bring us to a point to understand everything being in its right place. We need to do what we do for the love, for our Lord, for one another, and for the sinner without Christ. Like God does. Like God has. Like He does and like He will. That's the way it needs to be. So that we might be the children of light. Not to become the children of light. It's not what it's talking about. It might be manifested that we are the Lord's. We are like Him. May the Lord help and bless His Word.